भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 40 Text number 16 through 19. Jnani, Jnani, Iha, Rupani, Kridana, Artham, Vibarshi, Hi, Tai, Amrishta, Shuchaha, Lokaha, Muda, Gayanti, Te, Yashaha, Jani Jani Harupani, Kridanartham Vibharshihi, Tai Amrishta Shucho Loka, Muda gayanti te yashaha, yani yani harupani, kridanartham bibharshihi, tairamrishta shucho loka, muda gayanti te yashaha. Yani Yani Harupani Kridanartham Vibharshihi Tairamrishta Shucho Loka Muda Gayanti Te Yashaha Yani Yani Harupani Kridanartham Vibharshihi Tairamrishta Shucho Loka Muda Gayanti Te Yashaha Yani Yani Harupani Tairamrishta Shucho Loka Muda gayanti te yashaha. Matajis? Jani yani harupani. Kridanartham vibharshihi. Tairamrishta shucho loka. The kids. Yani Harupani. Kridanartham Vibharshihi. Tairamrishta Shucho Loka. Muda gayanti te yashaha Yani Yani Harupani Kridanartham Vibharshihi Yani Yani Which values? Iha, in this material world. Rupani, forms. Kridana, of play. Artham, for the sake. Vibharshi, you manifest. He, indeed. Tai, by them. Amrishta, cleansed. Shuchaha, of their unhappiness. Lokaha, people. Muda, joyfully. Gayanti, sing. Te, your. Yashaha, glories. Please repeat. To enjoy your pastimes. You manifest yourself in various forms in this material world. And these incarnations cleanse away all the unhappiness of those who joyfully chant your glories. To enjoy your pastimes, you manifest yourself in various forms in this material world. And these incarnations cleanse away all the unhappiness of those who joyfully chant your glories. I'm going to read the other verses myself, and then I'm going to focus on this one here. Actually, you can join me if you want. Namaha karanamatsyaya pralayadhicharaya cha haryarshishne namastubhyam madhukaita bambrityave akuparaya brihate namo mandaradharine shityudhara viharaya namashukaramurtaye. I offer my obeisances to you, the cause of the creation, Lord Matsya, who swam about in the ocean of dissolution, to Lord Hayagriva, the killer of Madhu and Kaitaba, to the immense tortoise, Lord Kurma, who supported Mandara Mountain, and to the boar incarnation, Lord Varaha, who enjoyed lifting the earth. Purport. The Vishwakosha dictionary states that the word Akuparaya indicates the king of tortoises. Namaste bhuta simhaya sadhu loka bhayapaha vamanaya namastu bhyam kranta tribhuvanaya cha. Obeisances to you, the amazing lion, Lord Nishinha, who removed your saintly devotee's fear, and to the dwarf Vamana, who stepped over the three worlds. Is this right? Who removed? Okay, that's again. So going back to the first verse. Yani yani harupani kridanartham vibarshihi tai amrishta shuchu loka amuda gayanti te yashaha. To enjoy your pastimes, you manifest yourself in various forms in this material world. And these incarnations cleanse away all the unhappiness of those who joyfully chant your glories. I read this and I thought it was quite interesting that, you know, Krishna enjoys like this. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Chinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Prasthachari Shatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Agyana Chimuranda Sagyana Njana Shlakya Chakshnu Nidipandiyana Tasmai Shri Guravayana. So the Lord, he manifests himself in various incarnations and he enjoys, but he has two purposes. One purpose is that he enjoys, and the other purpose is that he clings the unhappiness. So it's like business and pleasure. You know, like when businessmen travel. I was reading this week, Obama was in Tokyo, and he had business all day long, and at night he had some pleasure with the Prime Minister of Japan. They went to a sushi bar. So this tendency is not in the human being without cause. No, this tendency exists in the Lord himself, that he comes and he does more than one thing. It's like multitasking. He's accomplishing several purposes. But it's interesting that it says here that of those who joyfully chant your glories. Also in the Bhagavad Gita, I believe 10th chapter, Satatam Kirtayam Tamam Vajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogantam Janaman Upayam Tite. Krishna says that for those who are always glorifying me, always chanting my glories, Dadami Buddhi Yogantam, I give to them the knowledge by which they can come to me. So they are always Satatam, always glorifying Krishna. However, to be always glorifying Krishna, you need time. Now, time is of essence. I was researching for this class, and I came across, I'm sure you remember this, in 1956. You remember that, don't you?
Thank you.
I looked at both of them. So. I'm not trying to say anything. But actually, 1956, on March 16, almost at this time, this is what? 58 years ago. Okay? 58 years ago. Prabhupada wrote on the Back to Godhead, Volume 3, Part 2, the name of the title of the article was No Time. No Time. And it starts like this. A chronic disease of the common man. When we approach some gentleman and request him to become a reader of Back to Godhead, sometimes we are replied with the words, no time, in caps. So, but this is in 1956. Of course, we still have 24 hours a day here. No, the time hasn't changed. But the time that people have available to chant the glories of Krishna, to glorify Krishna, has changed. Now, there are many things that are hungry for our time. Like when I grew up, we had television, and it was a black and white television. And I remember when my father bought the television, it was the first television in the neighborhood. So he invited all the neighbors to come. I think the television was this big. It was big in volume, but the screen itself was very small. And my father said, you have to bring your chairs because now we don't have enough chairs. So he opened the garage, put the TV all the way on the back, and the whole neighborhood came. They could barely see the TV, but it was exciting just to be there. And then I remember I spent hours and hours in front of the TV. That sometimes when I went out, I was a little like dizzy. You know? So that was the Facebook of the time. You know? So, but what happens is that black and white TV was attractive on those days, but today those black and white TVs would not sell. Today they have Harvard MBAs and psychologists planning how to do the TV programs and videos and Facebook and this, so people get completely fixed on it, isn't it? So people cannot get away from it. I found this, because without time, can we glorify the Lord? How can we glorify the Lord? You know? You probably heard this, and this is not an isolated incident. A teenager in Taiwan was found dead in an internet cafe after playing video games for 40 consecutive hours. The teen, known only by the surname Chuang, collapsed during a marathon session of playing Diablo 3. And this actually was not the only incident. Now, there are actually many incidents of kids that died playing games. And also, in offices, managers are having a hard time with the internet, because people are spending as much as 10 hours a week on Facebook or their personal email. And then they get home, they keep going on the email sometimes until late at night. The next day they are tired. So the internet is fighting for our time. It's like eating our time. That we don't have time to glorify Krishna. And this is not only karmis. Of course, devotees, they don't use Facebook. They don't go to the movies or anything like that. But, so, we know. So, to glorify the Lord, to be part of this movement, we need time. Prabhupada says, I can't remember if it's on the Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita, that in the Vedic culture, people used to, and Dravida is here, probably he remembers, people used to work for 3 months, and for 9 months, they would dedicate themselves to spiritual life. Yes. Now, how can we have time in this complicated society? To have time, we have to go back to simple living and high thinking. Now, this society gives no time. Everybody's personal time. So, how do we go back to that society? Now, Trinada Peace, Nichena, Taruda Peace, Sahishnuna, Amanina. Anyway, very simple life, very humble life. People want to be very sophisticated because they want to show off. They want to show all their pictures in Facebook, that I bought this new car, that I did this. But you don't see anybody saying that I have no holes in my socks. Look at the picture. No. I'm so simple. I have nothing. And my dhoti has holes. And my sari has holes. I don't have anything. I ate very simply. So you don't see that. So we need to go back to simple life. Simple life helps us to concentrate in Krishna consciousness and glorifying Krishna. But actually, Prabhupada is chanting all over the world. Like Mukhe was saying today, that this chanting is infectious and purifies people. And also in the morning, when Keshava was reading, Prabhupada gave the example. It's like the fire. When the fire touches the iron, when the iron touches the fire, it becomes hot. Now, and Prabhupada explains that now, if you want to make the iron hot, you are not going to put the iron in the refrigerator in contact with water. You put it in contact with fire. In the same way, when we want to become hot in Krishna consciousness, we associate with the holy name of Krishna, Prabhupada says. That's Krishna's incarnation in the form of his name, Mantra Murti. When Satsvarupa Maharaj took sannyas, I heard Satsvarupa Maharaj saying this, him and Hridayananda Maharaj. There were many questions that they wanted to ask, and they heard the devotees saying. One question was that the sannyasi should offer his food to the danda before eating. Yeah. So there were a bunch of questions, and that the sannyasi should always travel with deities. So Satsvarupa Maharaj wrote the questions. And at the first opportunity, he went to Prabhupada and he started asking Prabhupada, Prabhupada, should the sannyasi offer food to the danda? And Prabhupada just said, And he wrote, no. Then the next question, should the sannyasi travel with deities? And Prabhupada said, no. Your deity is Mantra Murti. Mantra Murti is your deity. No, the holy name. So when we associate with the holy names, then we become purified like the holy names. Now, we have seen that all these years of chanting Hare Krishna, there are some changes in the world. Oh, this glory of Krishna going all over the world in the form of the holy name, we can see some changes. At least in the past 2 decades, some important things are ascending to the priority list. Now, we see more people that became vegetarian, you see vegan movements, you see people defending the animals. You see important leaders in the world trying to live a more simple life. On the cover page of the Fortune magazine, this is the Fortune magazine April edition, okay? And they list the world's 50 greatest leaders. Okay? And who was number one? Don't even say Bill Clinton, because it wasn't Bill Clinton. He's on the cover. You know who was? Was a Bhakta. Yes, Bhakta. Yeah, Bhakta. Bhakta Jorge Mario Gregorio, which is known as Bhakta Francis, Pope Francis. He was the number one. Yeah. And if you don't know much about him, look at this. This, they wrote something wonderful that I would like to share with you. Pope Francis, age 77. Just over a year ago, a puff of white smoke announced the new spiritual leader of 1.2 billion Roman Catholics around the world. In the brief time since, Francis has electrified the church and attracted legions of non-Catholic admirers by energetically setting a new direction. He has refused to occupy the palatial papal apartments. This was the first thing. The Papa has a huge apartment. Palatial, you know? And he said, I cannot take this. I'm going to the ashram with all the brahmacharis there. And he's living with everybody. He got just a room, a simple room. You know? When he was in Argentina, before he became a pope, he used to drive his own car and cook his own food. That was his discipline. And he has an old car. The previous pope left the Vatican on a Mercedes limo. And he has an old Ford car. It says here, he has washed the feet of a female Muslim prisoner, is driven around Rome in a Ford Focus. That's like, you know, poor people's car, you know? My car is better than that. And famously asked, who am I to judge with regard to the church's view on gay members. He created a group of 8 cardinals. Looks like the GBC. No. He created a group of 8 cardinals to advise him on reform, which a church historian calls, look at this, that the church historian calls the most important step in the history of the church for the past 10 centuries. Francis recently asked the world to stop the rock star treatment. He doesn't want any rock star treatment. And I understood here that not just for him, for any leaders. Leaders should not have any rock star kind of treatment. He knows that while revolutionary, his actions so far have mostly reflected a new tone and intentions. His hardest work lies ahead. And yet, signs of a Francis effect abound. In a poll in March, one in four Catholics said they have increased their charitable giving to the poor this year. Of those, 77% said it was due to the Pope. And we have seen in our own movement, like Radhanath Swami, he hasn't had a bank account for the past 40 years. You know that? So he was giving a class at the HSBC bank, and all the bankers were there, and he started the lecture saying, it's so funny, I'm going to give a lecture to bankers, and I have not had a bank account for the past 40 years. Everybody was laughing. So people are admiring now simple living. And in the same magazine that shows the world's 50 greatest leaders, there are other leaders that decided to live a very simple life. One of them is Warren Buffett, that was the richest man in the world. And he gave 80% of his fortune to Bill Gates, to the Bill Gates Foundation. And he still lives in the same small house that he lived 60 years ago. He became very wealthy and he didn't move to a bigger house. He still lives in the same place. And he used to take public transportation until not too long ago. And he is the one that influenced Bill Gates when Bill Gates went to one of his seminars, you know, because Warren Buffett was promoting a seminar to wealthy people, how to live with less than $400 million a year. This is the seminar. Of course, it's a joke. It's no telling the wealthy people. You got to get your act together, you know? So Bill Gates attended one of his seminars and realized that we're not going to leave any fortune for our 2 daughters. No, we're going to give all into the nation. So these things are happening. I don't think it's by chance. I think that Prabhupada's movement, this chanting, is influencing people's minds. If you go back 50 years, people didn't think like this. Maybe there was one here or another one there, but now on the same list of the 50 important leaders in the world, there's several people like this, that they don't want their wealth. Angelina Jolie is another one. They're investing in helping the poor, building houses, not only giving the money, but also going there and building it. So if people become simpler, they will have more time to glorify Krishna. That goes along with the spirituality. No. Complex life does not go along with the spirituality. A simple life goes along with the spirituality. And this goes well for us also, the devotees of Krishna. We can lead a very complicated life. I'm not going to mention names, but no, we should never do that. But some devotees can live a very complicated life. They don't have time for chanting, don't have time for serving Krishna. It's all work. And the atmosphere of America in the world now is about this. Another one that is very famous for his simplicity is another Bhakta Jose Mujica. He's the president of Uruguay. And he is known as the poorest president in the world. He still lives in the same house as when he was before becoming president. He drives his buggy car that's very old. And he only accepted bodyguards because the Constitution says he has to accept the bodyguards. And he goes to work in sandals and shorts. And he's the president of the country as the country is improving. So this is the influence of the Hare Krishna movement that is changing people's mind. Because Prabhupada says in the Bhagavatam, in the introduction of the Bhagavatam, that the purpose of this book is to create a revolution in the mind of the modern people. That's the purpose. And if we create a revolution, In their mind, their external behavior is going to change. That's unavoidable. The external behavior changes. And we have seen this change in the world. And if we can give the example of simple life, then that's going to help the world. That we concentrate more in chanting and glorifying Krishna and living a simpler life. We have also here descriptions of Matsya. I didn't know, or if I read before, I forgot. There are actually two Matsyas. Now, there is the Matsya that recovered the Vedas from the demon Hayagriva. There are two Hayagrivas too. And there is the Matsya also of King Satyavrata. And the Matsya of King Satyavrata is very much the story of Noah. And the story of Noah is not only in the Bible, there is also in the Quran, there is the story of Noah. And in the Jewish tradition, there is the story of Noah as well. Basically, a boat that came to save all these species and human beings. Yeah. The difference is that in the Bible, God gives a specific information about the Noah Ark. That's going to be this length and three stories, and there's a side door. And in the Bhagavatam, Krishna said, I'm sending a boat to you, Satyavrata. This boat is going to come to you. And then Matsya pulls the boat. And the boat is tied to Matsya via the Vasuki serpent. And basically, the goal is the same. But in all these traditions, there's the same story. It's quite interesting, you know, how it, you know, goes around. And also it speaks about Nrisimhadeva. And I'm not going to give a class on Nrisimhadeva, but we know how Lord Nrisimha is the protector of Prahlad Maharaj. And he's the protector of many devotees, actually. There's a nice story that I heard, and first I thought it wasn't truth. I said, this is too far out. That I heard about Hridayananda Maharaj, this story, that he was on Harinam in Mexico, not many, many years ago, kalpas ago, and they were doing Harinam, and these two drunkards came, and they were disturbing the kirtan. And Hridayananda Maharaj told them, you should stop. Please stop. We're just doing our mission. And they did not want to stop. And then on the second warning, he told them, if you don't stop, Nrisimhadeva is going to punish you. And they didn't stop. Then one of them fell, hit the head on the ground, and died right there. So I thought, this is, now sometimes devotees make things bigger than they are. So years later, you know, I was in Beverly Hills walking, chanting japa with Hridayananda Maharaj. I said, you know, I have a question here. I heard something, and honestly, I didn't believe. But I would like to hear from you. He said, no, it's true. The man died. And when Prabhupada heard it, Prabhupada said, Hridayananda Maharaj has a lot of faith in Krishna. So Lord Nrisimhadeva protects the devotees. He's there, you know, to protect the Vaishnavas. But to protect the Vaishnavas, it doesn't mean that it protects our body. Now, sometimes often we think, oh, I'm going on this plane, let me chant for Nrisimhadeva. You know? Of course, the body is also a temple of Krishna, and the Lord can protect the body also. But the highest protection is to protect us from the identification with the body. It's like we see Mother Indrani. I was doing the MC for Mother Indrani, and I forgot to say something important that I would like to say now. So many people came to see Mother Indrani. The UPS man that was delivering boxes to her house came to see her, to the memorial. Her neighbors came with poetry and gifts. Her doctor came, her medical doctor. So many other friends came, they flew from other places. And after all the ceremony, I thought, wow, what about that verse? Because I quoted a few things from Prabhupada, what about that verse? Dira dira janapriyo priya karo nirmatsaro pujito. That the six Goswamis, they were loved by everyone. Dira, the saintly people, you know, the nice people, and also the UPS men and their doctor and everybody else, the neighbors, you know. Everybody loved them and was ready to serve them. And Mother Indrani was like this, such a personality. Everybody loved her. And they all had nice things to say about her. And I was a little concerned, what's going to happen on my memorial? You know? They were saying that, no, she was preaching this, she was doing that, she was in Africa. They're going to say, what? This was fixing computers. He fixed my computer, you know. I would like them to say something nice, or I was meditating on them, you know. I would like to be remembered for something meaningful in Prabhupada's movement. You know, some preaching activity, something important, you know. So, going back here, just one more thing about the joyfully chant your glories. So when we chant the glories of the Lord, or when we chant in the temple, we have to be joyful. One time, at the beginning of the movement in 1966, Gargamuni, he would not offer obeisances. He would not offer obeisances. So the devotees were offering obeisances, and he would not offer obeisances. So he told Brahmananda, well, the reason why I don't offer obeisances is that because I don't feel like offering. And if I offer, it would be artificial. And I don't want to be artificial. So Brahmananda was not completely convinced, so he went to Prabhupada and took the matter to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada, Gargamuni does not want to offer obeisances because he doesn't feel like offering, and that would be artificial. What do you think, Prabhupada? No, no, he should offer obeisances. And then gradually he's going to develop the taste. So the same way, we have to chant joyfully for Krishna. Often we see devotees saying, wow, those kirtans, when Prabhupada was on the planet in the 70s, you see those pictures, people are so joyful, looks like they landed from another planet. They're always smiles and there's so much energy. Isn't that? Did you see that? Does anybody disagree? Raise your hand. So, but even when we are not ecstatic, we need to dance for Krishna, because we come to the temple to entertain Krishna. We are Krishna's entertainers. Yeah. And how we are going to entertain Krishna? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know? The kirtan is going at 10,000 miles per hour. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. You know? How can we can entertain Krishna like this? And we are dancers. On our job description is that we dance for Krishna, we sing for Krishna, but you show up for the job and you don't perform the description, your job description. So then it's like when you work for somebody, they come to you, look, you were hired to do this. I remember when I was working in New York, and sometimes I brought problems to my manager, and he was from a Greek family, he had a thick, very heavy look. He was a really nice guy, but he had a very serious look. He would look at me like above his glasses. I pay you to bring me solutions, not problems. You know? And I understood. That's it. Turn, go back and get the solutions. You know? So we are paid with the bliss of Krishna consciousness, with the Krishna conscious life, with the blissful association, with the books, to come and joyfully glorify the Lord and not be morose, even if we don't like. As people go every day to work and they take their public transportation, they drive in traffic to go and do the job, even when they don't like, the same thing we do. So we have to remember that. Yeah. That for Krishna we have to be joyful. I would like to stop here. And let me just see. I'm sure Dravida Prabhu has good comments to add. And we have here the good fortune of having Yogeshwar Prabhu. Let's give Yogeshwar Prabhu a big hand. Thank you for coming to Alatra. Any comments or questions?
Hare Krishna. Thank you. In the beginning, you were talking a lot about some of the pitfalls of technology and how people can become very absorbed and distract us from Krishna consciousness and glorifying the Lord. Of course, in your other life, you are the computer doctor, and since that is your profession, do you have some thoughts on how technology can be used positively? You must also see that.
Actually, Jayapataka Swami likes to use me as a technology consultant. And couple of times he asked me, So last time he was here, I had a chance to have lunch with him, and I was telling him, you need someone professional to handle your Facebook account. We want to make you famous. And he looked at me and said, I want to make Prabhupada famous, not me. Yeah. But we can use technology for Krishna. Actually, the Pope now has a whole technology department, IT department, and he's giving a mass on the cell phone, and the youth is watching the mass on the cell phone. Like the problem with education today. See, when I went to the school, I didn't have many things to distract me. Because I played outdoor, I made my own toys, I had bow and arrow, I made my own card. No, I didn't have to spend 40 hours playing Diablo 3 on the internet. You know? But today, the kids have so much entertainment, and when they go to school, the teachers have a hard time catching their attention. Teachers are here. Is it true? Because their mind is so much into those things. Actually, there is a school in Germany, in a place called, can't remember now, that to go to that school, the parents cannot allow their children to watch television and cannot allow the children to play video games. I know one friend of mine, devotee, is there, Ishra, and his kids are going to that school. You know, I'm completely against television. We can use everything for Krishna. We can use Facebook for Krishna. We can use email for Krishna, and we are using. But it's hard to find that balance. It's very hard. Even for those that are self-controlled. So that's all I have to say. Perhaps others can add.
I can add, but not on that topic. Just on the topic of the...
Sure.
Is that okay? Forgive me, but one verse that comes to mind is very relative to the verse that you focused on. How Krishna, he manifests all these different incarnations in order to enjoy his lila. And those who joyfully glorify him, they're free of all anxiety. That's the basic idea. So there's another verse that's relative to that, and it's quite famous. It's quoted, it's from the Bhagavatam and quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Anugrahaya bhaktana manusham deham asitaha bhajate tadrishi krida yashu dva tat parobhavet. When the Lord assumes a human-like body to show mercy to his devotees, he engages in such pastimes as will attract those to hear about them to become dedicated to him. And in the purport to this verse, when it's quoted in the CC, it's actually a purport given by Krishna's Kaviraj. He's explaining the verse. Sometimes he does that. You know. And he says, I forget which verb he's talking about, but it's a former verse that means that if you don't do it, it's a dereliction of duty. In other words, we have a responsibility to respond to Krishna's compassionate incarnation, and this is especially in the human form, and it's talking about Braja Krishna, to hear Shutva, these pastimes, and in this way to become more and more dedicated to him. So this is part of his compassion to come and enact his lila on this planet, so that it will have more and more subject matter for being absorbed. This is one of the reasons he comes. So it's very relative to this verse that we had today. I thought I would share that.
Thank you. I want to insert a pastime that I wanted to tell you, and it's not very well known, and it's about simple living. I heard from Achyutananda at his birthday party not too long ago that when he arrived in India for the first time, and I think it was 1967, he was wearing an orange satin dhoti and a white collar shirt with his head shaved. And on the plane, one Indian woman said, oh, where are you going? She said, I'm going to Vrindavan to meet my Guru Maharaj, my spiritual master. And she liked the idea so much, she gave him 100 rupees, which on those days was a lot of money for somebody to give as a donation in India. So he arrived at the New Delhi airport, and then there was it was the raining season, and there was a flood, and the water was covering the train track. So the train had to go very slowly, you know, to reach Mathura. When he got to Mathura, he remembered that Hayagriva told him, we mentioned Hayagriva not too long ago, Hayagriva told him, just say to the rickshawala, Gaudiya Math, Gaudiya Math, that's all you have to say, you know. Because remember, those folks, they didn't speak much English on those days. You know, now, after so many Westerners coming to India, but on those days, they had to communicate. So the rickshawala came and took him to the Keshavaji Gaudiya Math, where Keshava Maharaj, who was the sannyasi guru of Srila Prabhupada and God brother, was there. He was very ill, and Narayana Maharaj was there and received him and took him to Keshava Maharaj. And Keshava Maharaj told him that if you vibrate material sounds, you stay in the material world, and if you vibrate the spiritual sounds, you go to the spiritual world. And then he went to the Radha Damodar temple to see Prabhupada. And when he got to the Radha Damodar temple, Prabhupada was there with, you know, when the pujaris, they tied the chadar here on the back. But Prabhupada had a chadar that was the only thing covering the whole body and tied here in the back, bare feet, and polishing his lota with ashes. And he was squatting and polishing his lota with ashes. And Achyutananda wasn't used to see Prabhupada. He only saw Prabhupada in New York, sitting on an asana and wearing dhoti. And he thought it was very unique. Then Prabhupada dressed him the same way, and they were both, you know, polished in the lota. So Prabhupada's life was a very simple life. Very plain and very simple. So we have to meditate on how can we simplify our lives to have more time to serve Krishna. And I'm talking to myself.
Just a small comment on chanting Hare Krishna, that Prabhupada would say, chant and be happy. So my nature, I can't understand very much, so I took that as an instruction. That's a duty, that you should chant and be happy. Why not? Why wouldn't you be happy chanting Hare Krishna unless you're making offenses? But you should chant and be happy. So if you don't want to disobey the orders of the spiritual master, then you have to chant and be happy. Just following orders.
That's a very good point. Actually, we see so many improvements in society, you know, in science and this and that. But Prabhupada said, what about the main problem in society? What about birth, death, old age and disease?
There's something that strikes me as slightly awkward about the idea of mandating happiness. As though by obliging ourselves somehow to chant and dance in front of the deity, the complexities of the human psyche disappear. The traumas of our life are magically resolved. The difficulties that we face every day are no longer existing. And somehow it strikes me as almost dangerous, and I wonder how we can distinguish between the kind of mandate to be happy and to chant and dance and hypocrisy.
Well, I don't think anybody can mandate, no. I don't think that's possible. But we can encourage people. We can encourage. That's a very good point. We cannot mandate people to be happy in this life. It's not possible. But back to your question, your comment, the world is becoming increasingly more problematic. There was an article on The Economist magazine not too long ago. The Economist is one of the top business magazines in the world, analyzing democracy. And so many problems that democracy is facing all over the world. And there was an article on Time magazine, maybe 3-4 years ago, on the cover page. China, 50% communist, 50% capitalist, 100% business. People are confused. After all that they analyze and they research and do this, there's so much confusion in the world. People don't know if they turn right or left. They try this president and this solution and that solution, and things just don't get better. Because they can't, like there was a sign, a billboard 2 years ago on I-75, one of those huge billboards. Newest statistics, have you seen that? Death is still 100%. I don't know if it was a Hare Krishna that did that, maybe some religious person. You know? Death is still 100%. So people just don't see actual tangible improvement in material life.
I I just wanted to comment on what Yogeshwar Prabhu said. I actually think that our mind is very malleable and we can do a lot to change what we think. And I remember many years ago, I was watching Dr. Phil, and there was these couples that were having relationship issues. And he said, pretend you like them. Just pretend and see what the difference will make. And so the person who was feeling some difficulty, they just started to show a little sweetness, a little pretending that way. And the other person started to respond, and it became it created a space for a dialogue to happen. And so I think, like, sometimes we think we just give into our minds, like our minds, we're not mandating happiness from others, we're mandating it for ourselves. So, like, the way that you can change what your mindset is sometimes you just start pretending, like, I'm okay, it's going to be okay, I'm a happy person, and I want to be that. And actually, a lot of psychologists will say that that's the first step, is to just change your mindset on it. So I don't think it's like a question of just hypocrisy or you're just a robot. You know, there's somewhere in between. You know.
Well, that's quite interesting. Thank you. Yeah. Don't we also, when we become a Hare Krishna, and then you say you're a brahmachari, you're following the four principles and chanting 16 rounds, isn't that, now we're not pure devotees, you know, but we're leading a life of pure devotional service. There's some pretending that, you know? No, with the hope that you're going to become purified, you really, really develop the taste.
There's a verse.
Ah! And there's a drop verse. To tell the verse.
Exactly to this point. The teachings of Kapila Dev, the first teaching to his mother. There's eight verses on the importance of associating with the sadhus, redirecting one's attachment and devotion from matter to the sadhus. And one of the verses is exactly pertinent to this. It says, what do the sadhus do? And the sadhus means pure devotees. He has three or four verses. The most famous is Tatikshava Kalunika. But then the next verse talks about, you know, pure devotees. But the point is that what I'm getting at is one verse, he says, well, what do they do? And he says, Marashriya katam rishta shunbanti katayanti cha tapanti vivadastapa naitamad gata chetasa. That the devotees, by chanting the sweet vibrations about me, Marashriya, Katam Rishta means very sweet, you know, hearing and chanting, then the material miseries don't affect them as much because their minds are on me. In other words, so much of the suffering is really how you respond to it. In other words, yes, devotees get cancer and everyone else gets cancer. But when another person learns that they might have cancer, they freak out, you know, they go nuts, and it becomes the end of their life, practically. You know, they can become depressed and crazy. But we've had devotees who, okay, this is happening. We've had devotees who left their bodies after some time of that. Sure, the pain, physical pain is still there, but they're positive. Okay, you know, what is said in Bhagavad Gita? You know, I'm not that body. You're surrounded by devotees, and so much is going on. And actually, the anxiety, because what he says in the verse here is that the shucha, the anxiety is mitigated. The material energy is going to do what it's going to do. Devotees are going to die. They're going to have plane crashes and everything. But so many. But how you respond to it, what your content is, that's really the content of whether of the depth of the suffering, the depth of your experience. So and that's within our control. And so, and as you say, yes, dance anyway. I remember one devotee told me when he was a bhakta, I used to do something with the bhaktas back in Brooklyn, and he was standing, you know, in the kirtan. He just joined the temple, and I was like a one-year devotee, you know, so I was a senior devotee. So so I was telling him, look, don't stand like that, you know, dance, you know, and even if you don't feel like it, you dance, you know. And so later on, that devotee became a major bhakta leader and maker. And he was saying he remembered that. He said, yes, I tell them to do it. And Krishna provides you, you know, if you chant and dance, that the actual ecstasy comes. And then you feel like dancing. And after a while, you can't not dance. This is my experience. You know, you have to do something. Move.
There's a question there. And also, there's the Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition on the mind. It's the natural state of the soul. So a little trying can revive that.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the nice class and for this enlivening discussion. I just wanted to add to this discussion that a god sister of mine is a special needs teacher, and she got trained in alternative therapies, and one of those was dance therapy. And this was before she came to Krishna consciousness, and when she came to the temple, she was so surprised to see that one thing that she had learned in dance therapy was that if you put both of your arms up in the air and you step with crossing one foot over and then one foot over to the other side, that it crosses the two sides of the brain, and so any anger and sadness, it gets dissolved, and the balance is created, and then you can be
who joyful. Was that?
Who is it?
Yeah.
Her name is Ananda.
So we are PhD in dance therapy. Another thing also, when you put your arms up, is a sign of surrender. You know, at the war, when you want to surrender, you have to put your arms up. No, sir. You surrender.
It's found victory. Every person, whether you cross a marathon or something.
Victory. Yes. It's a natural.
It's a natural.
Even they said, even blind people, even blind people that never saw somebody winning a marathon and then raising their arms, when they win, they raise their arms.
Yeah. Just to remind each other that you already kind of gave the perfect example when you're talking about Garga Muni. And he didn't want to pay obeisance, so Prabhupada, he didn't feel like it. And then Prabhupada said, well, yes, pay obeisance, and then you'll feel like it. I thought it was a perfect example in this case.
Yeah, there's more than one example on this that Prabhupada gave.
There's 10,000 examples.
Wait, is there a verse for this one too?
Persist, Yogeshwar Prabhu asks. And the problems persist because of our offenses and because we don't follow the process strictly according to the way it is. The process will work for everyone, but because we're weak in our sadhana, we let the maya infect us again and we think, the process doesn't work or I have to do... What is the definition of faith? There's a verse. Shraddha shabde vishas kori sudhudanas joy krishne bhakti kori sarva karma kritahoy. This is Lord Chaitanya's definition of faith. Real faith is absolute conviction, firm conviction, that just by engaging in the activities of Krishna consciousness, all my activities will be successful. Wow. Krishne bhakti kori sarva karma kritahoy. And you can see that that's not an easy standard to come to. But to aspire to that and to come to that point, it means that you're completely dependent on Krishna.
There's another question. One thought I have you said about sadhana, and I was reading here that also the Pope has a sadhana. He has a morning and evening program. Now he wakes up like 4 o'clock, and he prays, and he does worship, and in the evening he does the same thing again. Yeah. You seem like an interesting personality. And actually, there's a letter from Prabhupada. Have you read this letter to the Pope? The Pope, was John Paul. Can't remember which one. Prabhupada wrote, have you seen this letter? He wrote like this, please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. Prabhupada wrote like this to the Pope. I am a monk from the Vaishnava tradition. And then he goes explaining, and then at the end he says, has anybody seen this letter? It's a beautiful letter, you can search. No, I offer my humble obeisance to your lotus feet. He wrote lotus feet to the Pope. And he said, and I would like to meet with you to see how we can collaborate to spread this God consciousness all over the world. But he never got an answer. I don't know, actually.
This is kind of a trite comment compared to the rest of the conversation, but you raised something about democracy in China and all that, and I was just jogging my mind. The critique of democracy is not like the problems around the world of democracy are now. It's there. People were aware of it from the start, you know, when they, during World War II especially, during the Great Depression, all these critiques were very prominent. Going back to the Civil War, going back to the people who wrote the Constitution, going back to ancient Greece. So people who were like politically science aware were pretty aware of the basic critique of democracy going back to the start.
I didn't mean to make this a political class. I just give this thing as an example.
Sila
Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.